Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as the word is taught now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion, no disparity in any heart, but we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you going to take your seat? Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it," okay? "Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Hallelujah. Okay? God wants the world, right? Okay. So, we began a teaching on evangelism and missions. Okay? And we said that God's plan right from the beginning of time was to fill the whole world with his knowledge, right? To fill the whole world with his worship. So when God says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, we said, actually, that speaks or has much more spiritual implication, right? He wants the whole earth filled with the kind of people that love and worship him, right? Who have a relationship with him. Can we say people who know him? Okay, you see the same thing repeated again in Genesis 2:15. It puts Adam in the midst of Eden, okay, the Garden of Eden, and Eden is called, or Eden means pleasure, right? Okay, so it puts man in the midst of his pleasure, right? And then he says to man, tend it and keep it. Now, how do you tend and keep God's pleasure? And then we said that those words, tend and keep, actually mean or have the implication of worship, right? Aubad and Shama. Okay, it says Aubad it and Shama it, okay, which have to do with the worship of God through Adam, right? And we said in every generation God would pick men to carry out that plan of his to ensure that the whole earth is filled with his knowledge and his glory. Hallelujah. Okay, we've seen so far Seth, then Enoch, then Noah, right, and his sons, who all failed, right? Well, Noah and his sons failed, okay, in that plan. And then later on in Genesis 12, God now picks a man, Abraham. Now, let me say this, that God is not doing try and error, amen, with men, okay? Did God know Noah will fail? Okay, are you here? Did God know Noah will fail? Okay, thank you very much. So it's not that God says, "Oh no, Noah has failed, what will I do now? Let me start looking for another man again," okay? In God's foreknowledge, did he know Abraham? Okay, did he know Israel? From Adam, did he know them already? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so God is not doing trial and error. Okay, right from the beginning, he knew that Noah and his sons will fail in that task, and already prepared Abraham and his family, okay? So, you know, you can actually say it this way. Alright, you can say this way, for God so loved the world that he gave Abram. Amen. Are you here? For God so loved the world that he gave Abram. Are you here? Abram and Abram's family are an expression of God's love to man. Amen. Okay, because actually the Messiah, the promised seed, Genesis 3:15, actually came from Abram's family. Amen. So actually, God so loved the world that he gave Abraham. Are you here? Okay, so Abraham and Abraham's family. Now, don't go and change John 3:16. The pastor has given us the better Greek rendition. The word Jesus there is Abraham. Is Abraham. Okay, so I'll deny you when you say that. Say, "I know you not. I never knew you." Amen. You are not, I'm not a member of the Azul Church, okay? But actually, you know, Abraham and Abraham's family, okay, an expression of God's love to mankind, okay? That God does not forsake man who is lost, but goes after him, right? So we've said that God promised that through the family of Abraham, he was going to bless all the nations of the world two ways. Number one, the promised seed, Genesis 3:15, will come forth from Abraham's family. And number two, Abraham's family would now have that responsibility of proclaiming the name of the Lord in all the nations, okay? Making him known everywhere. Hallelujah. Okay, so, and we've started looking at some of that. We said that the children of Israel as a nation actually refused this task, right? However, God would pick few people in each generation, few Jews, right? We saw that, we saw all of this in the first service, right? Few Jews in each generation to actually carry out this plan. We saw, first of all, Joseph, right? In the first service. Then also, we saw the young girl, right? In the household of Naaman, who served as a tool to let or to make the name of the Lord known in that household. Amen. And then lastly, we saw Jonah, right? Who had to be swallowed, literally. Amen. He had to be swallowed to obey God. Can you imagine? What a disobedient man. You need to be swallowed first before you obey God. Amen. Maybe if that happened oftentimes, maybe we'll get more serious with evangelism, right? Say yes. God say, okay. Then you say, before God happens, God just releases all the animals in your zoo. All of them, all the chains just get loose, all the cages just open. Then they start spreading around you, you know, filling the earth, right? They start going to each Christian, say, oh yeah, go and evangelize. Go and evangelize, we eat you now, right? All the land, yeah, evangelize, okay? You know, so for some people, till that happens, they will never obey God in evangelism, okay? You know, so don't be like that, okay? Alright, be one who is open to God's plan on the earth, okay? Remember, he's going to get that plan done through men, alright? So he needs as many men as possible to get that job done. Hallelujah. Okay, so in this service, we just continue along those lines to see Jews who actually carried out that plan of God in witnessing to Gentiles, okay? So let's look now at the two spies in Joshua 2. The two spies in Joshua 2. Now, do you know the story? Okay, now let's read Joshua 2 verse 1. That was when they were about to cross over to the promised land, right? And then spies are sent, right? Look at Joshua 2 verse 1. It says, now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot. Now pay attention to that. Underline that in your Bible. A harlot named Rahab. Are you there? A harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Okay? Now, Rahab is a Gentile woman. Okay? A non-Jew. Are you here? Now look at verse 2. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. Now observe what Rahab did in verse 3. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men whom have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman, now pay close attention to this, took the two men and hid them. Do you see that? So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stores of flask, which she had laid in order on the roof. And verse 7, then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Do you see that? Okay, now, so you see the Jews come to her, right? They are in a lodging. Then she protects them from destruction, okay? Now you observe that later on, she then converses with the spies. Okay, now look at what she tells them in verse 8. Now I want you to pay very close attention to this, okay? Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, now pay close attention to this, I know that the Lord, do you see that? Can we say the Lord of the Jews? Okay, has given you the land that the terror of you has fallen on us. You see that? And that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Okay? Now, how did she know about the Lord? Look at the next verse. For we have heard, do you see that? How the Lord dried up, hallelujah, the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. Remember, this was what to do what? To let the nations know. Do you see this noun? Do you see it had the desired effect? Okay? And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did they remain any more courage in anyone because of you. Do you see that? Now, you observe that this statement seems like she's scared of the Israelites. Right? But now, look at the next statement. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above. Do you see that? And on earth beneath. Hallelujah. Is this faith? Yes. Okay? So not only did she hear about the only true God, the God of the Jews, she also believed on him. Hallelujah. Okay? Remember, the great wonders of God to Israel are to what? Point the nations to him for faith. And you see that in Hebrews 11:31, it tells us that she actually believed. Rahab. Right? Hebrews 11:31. Turn there, please. It says, by faith, the hallowed Rahab did not perish. Hallelujah. Do you see that? With those who did not believe. So that was Jericho's problem. Do you see that now? Unbelief. When she had received the spies. Do you see that now? Now, go back to Joshua 2, verse 12. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord. Do you see that? You see that she calls him the Lord. Hallelujah. Since I have showed you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters and all they have and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will do kindly and truly with you. Do you see that? Okay, so they converse together about the Lord. She becomes more acquainted with the Lord. Do you see that? Then you observe that in Joshua 6, verse 20, they actually kept their promise to her. In Joshua 6, verse 20 to 25, let's read that now. He says, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout, that then the wall fell down. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men and women, young and old, ox and sheep, and donkey with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the hallowed house. You see that? And from there, bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. Do you see that? And the young men who had been spies went out and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. Do you see that? So her entire family, okay, is now saved because of her faith. Do you see that? Okay, can we say they all came to know the God of the Jews as well? Huh? Because remember, what would she tell them? When she tells them, remember, what did they tell her? All of you come where? To a place. Right? And stay there. So what would she tell them? Why are we coming here? Right? That would be the question, right? And then what was she saying? The God of the Jews, right? Who protected us, right? Okay, that's why we are here. So you see again, they come to know the true God, right? And all that she had. So she brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and all the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. Now look at this. So she what? Dwells in Israel to this day. Do you see that? Now to that day, right? Okay, because she's dead now, okay? So she now became a part of God's people. Are you seeing this? A Gentile woman. Because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now why did she hide them? Remember, because of her faith. Are you seeing this? Okay, so she became what? A part of God's people. Hallelujah. Do you see this? Now later, this same Rahab now marries a man by the name Salmon. Okay? Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N, the son of Nashon. N-A-S-H-O-N. Okay? Nashon now is one of the princes of Israel. And this same Rahab, a Gentile harlot, now becomes an ancestor to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Do you know that? She now became an ancestor to Jesus. Do you see this? You see that she's mentioned in Matthew 1 verse 5 in the genealogy of Jesus. So God gave her the honor to be one of the persons through whom the Messiah would come. Hallelujah. Does he want the world? Does he want the world? Jew and Greek? Hallelujah. Okay, so it is clear that God wanted the Gentiles to be part of his people. I mean, that is the Jew. The Jew will scream to that, right? Say, how can God choose? She's not just a Gentile, she's a harlot. Right? Hallelujah. Remember what we said in the first service? He wants the people that we don't. Hallelujah. You hear what I said? He wants everyone, even those that we don't. Amen. He wants the world. Okay, so we see that God has always wanted the Gentiles to be a part of his people. You find out that even Moses' law, the law of Moses, made provisions for non-Jews. Look at Deuteronomy 10 verse 19. Okay, so the hatred for the Gentiles, I don't know where the Jews found it. Because even the law of Moses made provisions for foreigners, for strangers. Look at Deuteronomy 10 verse 19. It says, therefore, love the stranger. Is that clear? Can we say love the Gentile? Amen? So how did the Jew not see this? Come on. Come on. Okay, so you see, their issues could not have been from the scriptures. Okay, it was a personal vendetta, right? With those nations. It says, love the stranger. For you were what? Strangers in the land of Egypt. You see the same thing, Leviticus 19 verse 34. Leviticus 19 verse 34. It says, the stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. Do you see that? Very clear, right? And you shall love him as yourself. Do you see that? For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Do you see that? So Israel was wrong to exclude the Gentiles. Do you see that? They were wrong to exclude any Gentiles in their midst. So Rahab's story is clear that God will save anyone who looks to him. Hallelujah. The Jew and the non-Jew. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay. Now next, let's see the story of Daniel and his three friends in Babylon. Know that story as well? Okay. Daniel and his three friends in Babylon. Okay. Now, similar to Joseph, Daniel and his friends, okay, were high-ranking officials in Babylon. Okay. High-ranking officials in Babylon. Now, see how their story began. Daniel 1 verse 1. Please turn your Bible there. Daniel 1 verse 1. Hallelujah. Okay, in the third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Joachim, king of Judah, into his hands with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar and the house of his God. Okay, so that's an idol worshiper, right? A non-Jew, right? A Gentile, right? Okay, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel. Do you see that? And some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. Okay, so they were in a time when Israel had been destroyed by the Babylonians. Okay, now look at verse 5. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies. Now remember, the Jews have not gone to where? Babylon. Okay, so they are now in a strange land, right? What is God's plan there? Weaknessing. Okay. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that all at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Okay. Now from amongst those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chiefs of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Ananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Okay, so they now became wards of the king. Are you seeing this? They became wards of the king. You can say members of the king's household. Okay, now you know, being members of the king's household comes with some privileges. Okay, you now have the best clothes, the best food, right? Amen. If it's today, you are driving a Bugatti, right? Imagine if President Buhari should say, I take you as my child. God forbid. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, you know, they now have the best of the best. Now, you know, a greedy Jew, once he sees all of this, can easily forget what his mission is in Babylon. Come on. Someone who is greedy. Olonjeya. Once he starts saying, the king's delicacies. Hey, drinks, right? He can forget that he is a missionary in Babylon, right? But not Daniel. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. But Daniel proposed in his heart, hallelujah, that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, because you know this was offered to idols first, right? Before they ate it, okay? Which was an abomination for the Jews. It says, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chiefs of the eunuchs. Why? Missions, right? Okay. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my life or my head before the king. Verse 11, so Daniel said to the stewards, whom the chief of the eunuchs has set over Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, okay? And let them eat, give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion, the olonjeyas, okay? Amen. The kings, you can write that in bracket. Amen. Who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. As you see fit, so deal with your servants, okay? So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. Now 15. At the end of the 10 days, their features appeared what? Better. Hallelujah. And fatter in flesh than all the olonjeyas. Amen. The young men who ate the portion, amen, of the king's delicacies. You see that? Thus, the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Okay. And as for these four young men, now look at this. God gave them what? Knowledge. Why? Missions and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had what? Understanding in what? All visions and dreams. So you see, revelation gifts now began to function again in their lives, just like Joseph. Are you saying this? Similar to Joseph. Now remember, what is God's plan? To bless Babylon through these boys. Okay? And that is why he gave them wisdom. And look at verse 18. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found. Hallelujah. Like Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. Do you see that? And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them what? 10 times better. Hallelujah. Than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. Hallelujah. Okay. Then thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. You see that? So these boys knew their mission in Babylon. Their mission was to reveal the true God to a nation that was deep in idolatry. Okay. A pagan nation. Now look at the next chapter. Okay. The king now has a dream. Similar to Joseph, right? Okay, look at Daniel 2 verse 1. Now, in the second year of King Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Okay, then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Let your servants tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream. Now, this sounds unreasonable, right? Unreasonable. It says, if you do not make the dream known to me. So, not just the dream, then its interpretation as well. Okay, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. Are you seeing this? However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. Okay? You know, the Chaldeans and the magicians were seen as the wise men of Babylon. Okay? They were deep in the occult. Are you seeing this? They knew the mysteries of the occult. So, actually, making this request to them was not unreasonable. Right? Because, I mean, if you claim to know all things, you should know the dream. Right? But you see this? This is God working everything, right? According to the counsel of his will. What is his plan for Nebuchadnezzar to come to know him? Are you seeing this? Okay, now look at verse 10. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, now pay attention, pay attention. There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Are you seeing this? Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is what? A difficult thing. Do you see that? So what are they doing here? They are making it more obvious that only God can do what the king asked. Are you seeing this? Oh, the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Okay? That the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except who? The gods. Do you see that? Whose dwelling is not with flesh. Do you see that? So they've made it known to the king that whoever will tell this to you will do it by the help of God. Hallelujah. So now it is God's time to shine. Right? Okay, in Babylon. Now look at verse 16. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies. You see that? From the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions may not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then, look at verse 19. The secret was what? Revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Hallelujah. So Daniel did what? Bless the God of heaven. So now, the dream and its interpretation has been given to Daniel, right? So Daniel will go first to the king, right? Now, Daniel can do two things. He can make himself shine, or is God to shine. Do you get it? He can use that circumstance to bring all the glory to himself, right? Or he can use that as an opportunity, remember, to point them to God, which is what God always wanted, right? Now look at verse 27. Look at how he skillfully reveals the dream to the king. It says, verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. What does this mean? That is, they are the worshippers of false gods, right? Remember, they are the worshippers of false gods, right? Okay, so they could not declare to the king. So what is this telling him? Those gods you are worshipping are what? No gods, right? Okay, now look at 28, but there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Who reveals secrets, and he, you see that, has made known to Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were this. Okay, and as for you, O king, thought, verse 29 now, as for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what will come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will happen. So what does he do? He points the king back to God. Hallelujah. Is this evangelizing? Proclaiming? Making God known? Yes. Hallelujah. And look at verse 30. It says, but as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes, who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you should know the thoughts of our hearts. Do you see that? So it makes it clear that it's not about me. Right? It's about the Lord. Hallelujah. And you see that in telling the dream, he keeps pointing or speaking to God. Look at verse 37. Okay? It says, you, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you. Do you see that again? Do you see that? A kingdom, power, strength, and glory. So he lets the king know that God is his source. Are you seeing this now? Look at verse 45, pardon me. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain. Now he's telling him the dream, okay? Alright, and it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. See, the great God, you see that again, has made known to the king what we want come to pass. Hallelujah. After this, the dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. Hallelujah. Okay, now what is the result of this? Making God known to the king. Look at verse 46. He says, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face. That's worship. Hallelujah. You see that? Prostrated before Daniel and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. Okay? The king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is what? The God of gods. You see that? And the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, since you could not reveal this secret. Hallelujah. So Daniel's wisdom was used wisely. Do you get that? Daniel's wisdom was used wisely to point men to God. But you see that King Nebuchadnezzar actually didn't truly or fully believe. Okay? At this point, he did not fully believe. Look at the next chapter. In the next chapter, Daniel 3, he then makes a golden image, right? Look at Daniel 3 verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces. So everyone, right? We will now come, right? Okay? To come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Do you see that? So all the officials are here. Are you seeing this? All the Ethiopian rulers now come together, okay? And look at verse 3. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, okay? And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then Herod cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, you see that? Nations, languages, come on. So do we see several people gather together? Okay, but now they want to worship what? The false god. Are you seeing this? Okay, that at the time you hear of the sound of the horn, because you know Babylon then was like a colonial nation, okay, like breathing. So you know when this happens, all the nations will gather together. Do you get it? It's like when breathing has the commonwealth of nations, where all the nations come together, okay? So that's what is happening here. Do you see it? So we have all the nations, all the peoples, all the tribes, right? Kol Mishpekol, right? Gather together, okay? Now what is God's plan? To bless them, right? Okay? Now look at verse 5. That at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be what? Cast immediately into the midst of what? A burning fiery furnace. Do you see that? But now we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay? Who refused to bow down to the image. Look at verse 12. Okay? There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. Do you see that? They do not serve our gods. Do you see that? Or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, okay, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, nor worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony and all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning furnace. And who is the God? Do you see that? Who what? Deliver you from my hands. You know, these guys are talking, but they don't know they're actually giving God more power to shine. They are giving God more opportunities to shine. Are you saying this? He says, who is the God? Okay, so he's asking, right? Okay. And look at verse 16. You will know him. Okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Do you see that? If that is the case, our God, hallelujah. Is this introducing him? The God of the Jews, to the Gentile king, okay, whom we serve, hallelujah, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will, hallelujah, deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Okay, so what are they doing here? They are making Yahweh known by their statements. Okay, making him known by their statements. Now look at the next verse, verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. You know what this is doing? This is giving God the privilege and opportunity to shine in Babylon. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? So the fire now is now more hotter, so that his power can show what? More greater. Are you seeing this? Hallelujah. So he commanded certain mighty men of valor. Now look at this. Who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then, now pay attention to this. These men who were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning furnace. Look at 22. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, pay attention to this. And the furnace exceedingly hot. Do you see that? The flame of the fire killed those men. Do you see that? Who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So it's so hot, even the soldiers, he told them to barbecue. So yeah. Are you seeing this? Remember, all of this will be what? To point to Yahweh. To point to Yahweh. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was what? Astonished, and he rose in his in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? So the question is, first of all, those people that turned to Suya, did he care about them? That's what I want to find out. Did he? Right? Because it seems like he didn't care. Because in the class after that, he just said, what happens, right? He looks at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He doesn't seem to care about those ones, but you know, that's just something to think about, okay? And spoke, okay, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. So now, you know what is happening here? Remember, all the rulers of the nations are there. Do you remember? So they cast them into the fire in the midst of all the rulers of the nation. Do you see this? So this is what? A parade. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this? A parade of Yahweh in Babylon. Okay? Then look at 25. Look! Do you see that? So when it says look, what will happen? Everybody will look. Hallelujah. Oh, glory! Okay? He answered, I see what? Four men, what? Loose! Hallelujah! Walking in the midst of the fire. Hallelujah! Okay? And they are not hurt. Unlike the seven men, right? Okay, and the form of the fourth is like what? The Son of God. Hallelujah. Okay, so God delivers them supernaturally in the midst of the nation for everyone to see. Is he evangelizing? Making himself known? The great God, the God of the Jews. Okay, now look at the result. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, meaning is now it has come down now. Okay, amen. Okay, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what? Servants of the Most High God. You see that? It's gradually getting it now. Hallelujah. Come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors from all the nations, right? And the king's counselors gathered what? Together. And they what? They saw. Hallelujah. This man on whose, I love how he says it. He says, on whose body the fire had no power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. It says, the air, look at this. It says, the air of their head was not singed. What? Hallelujah. No, were their garments affected. Hallelujah. And the smell of fire was not on them. You know, even when today, when you even on matches, you will be smelling it on your hand. You know, let me say this. Okay, maybe this is also very ridiculous. Don't you think so? Very ridiculous. Just like the passing of the Red Sea. It does not make any sense. How do you put someone in fire that kills 7 people and you cannot even smell fire on them? This can only be a miracle. Hallelujah. Revealing what? The God of the Jews. Amen. Okay? So, not only does Nebuchadnezzar see it, okay? His officials, okay, see the supernatural deliverance. And look at 28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed, hallelujah, be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent what? His angel, and delivered what? His servants, who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Do you see that? That any people, Genesis 12:3, call Mishpachon, nation or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Quite interesting. And their houses shall be made an ash heap. Because what? There is no other God who can deliver like this. Hallelujah. Okay? Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the province, in the province of Babylon. See, so they are given more power, influence in the nation. What would that be for? To make God known. Hallelujah. Okay, so again, God uses a supernatural action to woo the Babylonians, right? To faith. Remember, signs and wonders are to catch the attention of the unbelieving. I told you, signs and wonders are not the message. Are you following what I'm saying here? Signs and wonders, miracles are not the message, but signs and wonders are tools for evangelism. Okay, they are to catch the attention of the unsaved so that they can put faith in the true God. Hallelujah. Okay, now you see that this King Nebuchadnezzar is quite stubborn. Okay, he still wasn't so believing like that. It was not till the next chapter, okay, Daniel 4, where he now truly believes God. And you know what happens there? He ran mad. You know, we don't have time to go through the entire story. I believe you've read that in your Bible reading. Okay, you know, he ran mad. Amen. He actually started living with animals. Okay, then God healed him of that madness again. Is that him revealing himself? Okay, now look at what he says in 34. So this is after he's mad, right? Then he's healed, right? Okay, now look at 34. Daniel 4:34. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. Do you get it? That is, he was no longer mad anymore. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him, who what? Lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. Is this faith? Is he coming to realize now? Okay, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol. Now remember, he's writing a letter, right? Okay, to the nations. So he now becomes an evangelist as well. Do you see this? Okay, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all of whose works are true and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride is able to pull down. Okay, so through Daniel and his friends, King Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon now come to know the true God. Hallelujah. Okay, now after King Nebuchadnezzar, we now have his son, okay, who reigned after him. That's King Belshazzar. Okay, in Daniel 5, King Belshazzar. Now this one didn't know about the true God that his father knew about. Okay, so he was also given to idolatry. Now, for this particular one, we now have the story of the handwriting on the wall. You know that story from verse 1 to 9. Okay? So again, God is going to use what? A supernatural means to point the Babylonians to himself. Okay? Now, you see that no one among the king's wise men again could interpret that or those writings. Okay? Now, look at what the queen says of Daniel in verse 10. Remember, no one knows the meaning, right? No one in all the land. And look at verse 10. The queen, because of the words of the king and of the lords. Now again, this is a banquet where everyone is present. You see that? The kings, the lords, okay? They're having a banquet, okay? So everyone is there, right? Okay? The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom, look at this, in whom is the spirit of the holy God. Do you see that? Referring to Daniel. Remember, her husband knew him, right? Nebuchadnezzar. I remember she was in those days as well. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods. Do you see that? Do you see that? So whatever he has was given to him by one God. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Okay, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he what? Give the interpretation. Now Daniel comes on the scene again, and he gives the interpretation. But look at it again. Remember, what will Daniel see when he gets there? Preaching opportunity. You see? Okay? Now he uses that again as an opportunity to let the king know of the true God. He points the king to God. Look at Daniel 5:22. But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, and you have lifted yourself up against what? The Lord of heaven. Do you see that? Making him known that they have brought the vessels of his house. Do you see that? Before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see nor hear. Do you see that? And the God who holds your breath in his hands. Do you see that? And owns all your ways you have not glorified. Is this evangelism? Okay. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him. Do you see that? And this writing was written, and this is the inscription that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Okay, this is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it, oh God. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Do you see that? Are you here? Okay. Upharsin, your kingdom has been divided and given to what? The Medes and the Persians. So again, what does he do? He reveals God to this king. But you know, unfortunately for this king, he didn't have time to repent. The message was, as it hurt, right? Because immediately the message came to him, he was destroyed. You know, the Babylon was raided, right? And then he was killed. Do you see that? Okay. Now you see as well that Daniel also witness. So have you seen him witnessing to the kings of Babylon so far? You see Nebuchadnezzar, right? His son, right? Belshazzar, right? Okay. Now you see in Daniel 6, he now also ministers to King Darius. Okay? King Darius. As we begin to close now, King Darius. Now you see that for this particular case, God actually used a supernatural event again, okay, to reveal himself to the king. Remember, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Remember the story? Okay, look at Daniel 6:16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying, your God, do you see that? Whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Do you see that? Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords. So his lords were there. Come on. Okay, and the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of the lions. 20, and when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. You know, expecting him to be eaten, right? The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, what? Servant of the living God, as your God, whom you serve continually, being able to what? Deliver you from the lions. You know, this right here, you know, two things can happen here. You know, if he doesn't hear any sound from hallelujah, God is not the true God, right? The only God can save him. Now he's not the true God. Amen. But look at verse 21. Hallelujah. Then Daniel said, hallelujah. Okay, does this vindicate God as a true God? Okay, said to the king, O king, live forever. My God, you see, he's pointing his attention to God. You see, everything God gives Israel is for the nations. You get it now? Yeah. My God said his angel. Do you see that? Supernatural preservation, right? And shut the lion's mouth so that they did not hurt me. Do you see that? Because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now look at 23. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den and no injury whatever. Do you see this? You know, in those days, the lion's den was used for capital punishment because they were not fed. Do you get it? So it was human being. When the king is angry with someone, you know, oh God. You know, it's like today we have firing squad, right? For a capital punishment or a lethal injection or hanging. Their own capital punishment is the lion's den. Do you get it? So they don't feed them. They do it purposely. They leave them for days without eating, right? So once you throw something there, only God can save him, right? So this shows you that the God of Daniel is the true God. He says no injury whatever was found. Do you see that? Because he believed in his God. Do you see that? And what did this do? It caused the king to honor God. Look at verse 25. As we begin to close now, then King Darius wrote to all peoples. You see that? Hallelujah. Nations, huh? Languages that dwell on the earth. You see that? You see that? Okay. Adama, please, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble. Now remember, Babylon is a colonial nation. So when he says every of my kingdom, that's like Britain saying all of Africa. Do you get it? So everyone, men must tremble and fear before what? The God of Israel. So this, the God of Daniel. So this now made the God of Daniel to spread through every nation. Hallelujah. And he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one that shall not be destroyed. Hallelujah. And his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers. Hallelujah. So what are they hearing about the God of Daniel? He saves. Come on. He saves, right? And rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Hallelujah. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So you see that God made use of Daniel and the three Hebrew men, or the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to let his fame spread abroad in Babylon and all of the earth. Hallelujah. Okay? So lastly for today, let's look at King Solomon. Okay? King Solomon, are you here? Alright, now King Solomon is the son to King David, right? You see that in 2 Samuel 12, it records his birth. 2 Samuel 12:24. It says, then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Now the Lord loved him, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. So he reigned after King David, okay? His son. Now you observe that God blessed Solomon with great wisdom. Okay? God blessed Solomon with great wisdom. You see that 1 Kings 3:12. 1 Kings 3:12. It says, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. Do you see that? So, for the longest period of time, the wisdom given to Solomon, the purpose for that wisdom was not known. Right? The purpose was not known. The reason for the wisdom given to Solomon became known as the years went by. Okay? That wisdom was to draw men closer to God. Are you following this? Remember, if Solomon is a child of Abraham, right? Right? God would also want to use Solomon to bless the nations. Right? So the blessing given to Solomon of wisdom, the blessing of wisdom given to Solomon was for the nations. Look at that. 1 Kings 3:28. 1 Kings 3:28. It says, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, okay? And they feared the Lord. Do you see that? And they saw. Do you see that? The wisdom of who? Of God was in him to what? Administer justice. So why was wisdom given to Solomon? To point people to the Lord. Are you seeing this? So what will be heard about Solomon? He is wise. Why? Because the Lord made him wise. Are you seeing this? So at the end of the day, who is he pointing the attention back to? The Lord. Are you seeing this? Look at the next chapter. 1 Kings 4:29. And God gave Solomon wisdom an exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled, pay attention to that, the wisdom of all the men of the east. You see that? And all the wisdom of Egypt. These are idol worshippers. Are you following this? These are pagans, okay? They don't worship the true God. For he was wiser than all men. Do you see that? Can we say all men in the nations? Okay? That Ethan, the Ezraite, and Iman, Chalcol, Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in where? All the surrounding nations. Remember I told you, when you see nations, what does that refer to? Non-Jewish nations, right? Non-Jewish people. So are these unbelieving nations? Yes! So his fame now spread about in all these nations. Are you seeing this? Look at 32. He spoke 3,000 proverbs. That's a lot. Don't you think so? And his songs were 1,005. Also, he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. Now, what is the result? What is the result? What is the result? Why did God give him the wisdom? 34. And what? Men of all nations. Hallelujah. Kol Mishpachot. From all the kings of the earth, okay, who had heard of his wisdom. What wisdom? Remember, the wisdom that what Yahweh gave him. Okay? Came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Hallelujah. So the wisdom of Solomon was not for show off. Do you get it now? It was not to show, I'm the one that knows more than everyone. It was to what? Draw the nations. You see that again? To Yahweh. Hallelujah. Okay? You see that this wisdom also impacts King Hiram of Tyre, a non-Jew. You see that in 2 Chronicles 2, 11 to 12. King Hiram, he was king of Tyre, okay? 2 Chronicles, Tyre, T-Y-R-E, okay? 2 Chronicles 2, 11 to 12. It says, then Hiram, king of Tyre, answered the writing which he sent to Solomon. Because the Lord loves his people, he has made you king over them. Do you see that? Hiram also said, blessed be the God of Israel. Now, he's not a Jew, okay? He's a Gentile king. Do you see that? But because of the wisdom with which Solomon handled his affairs, he says, blessed be the God of Israel who made heaven and earth. Is this faith? Is this faith? For he has given King David a wise son, endowed with prudence and understanding, who will build a temple for the Lord and a royal house for himself. Do you see that? So God's wisdom reveals God to King Hiram. Again, you also see that later on, the Queen of Sheba, right, also came to see Solomon's wisdom, right? Look at 1 Kings 10 verse 1. As we begin to close now, 1 Kings 10 verse 1. 1 Kings 10 verse 1. Okay. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning what? The name of the Lord. Do you see that? She came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, with very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered what? All her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the sitting of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was what? No more spirit in her. That means he said, right? Hey, oh yeah, Mileno, right? Now look at verse 6. Then she said to the king, it is a true report which I heard in my own land. Do you see that? About your words and your wisdom, which God gave you. Which God gave you. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half of it was not told me. Do you see that? Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I have heard. Do you see that? Now all of this is, we can say blah 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 blah. What is the point? Okay, look at verse 8. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. What's the point? Verse 9. Blessed be what? The Lord your God. That's the point. You see it? Okay. Who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he has made you king to do justice and righteousness. So what do we see here? We see a Gentile woman believe God. Hallelujah. And you see that later on, Jesus Christ, when he comes on the scene, used the Queen of Sheba as an example of faith. Have you seen that before? In Luke 11:31. Jesus Christ used her as an example of faith. Look at it. Luke 11:31, as we begin to close, it says, the Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment. That's the Queen of Sheba. Are you seeing this? With the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Do you see that? So, this woman, we'll see her at the end of the age. Come on. We'll see her at the end of the age. She's saved. Do you see that? She's saved. She put faith. Hallelujah. In the God of the Jews. So, everything given to Solomon, his wisdom and his wealth, was a means to an end. Do you see that now? So that all the nations of the world will come to know Yahweh. But you see that Solomon forgot this about, right? He forgot, he knew the purpose initially, but later on, you know, he's an example of those people that let what God gives them get to their head. Okay? He became proud, okay? And then he now let those nations coming to him to influence him. Why were the nations coming to him? So that he could influence them, right? Towards faith in Yahweh, right? He now let those nations affect him, you know, influence him with idolatry. Look at 1 Kings 11 verse 1. But Solomon loved many foreign women. Do you see that? Why were the foreign women coming to you, sir? Are you seeing this? Why were they coming to him? What was the point? To know about Yahweh. But they will see that,
Sister Ruth, you're looking really nice today.
As a pastor, you have wisdom given to you by God to bless your congregation. So, you not use your brain.
Say, I really like how you're looking today, Sister Jace. Pastor, thank you.
Amen. That's Solomon. Amen. Loved many foreign women as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. Huh? You're entering dangerous territory, Pharaoh. Idol worshiper. Women of the Moabites, Jesu. You are entering, these are idol worshippers in those days. Ammonites, yay! Edomites, hey! Sidonites, Ethites. Solo? Brother Solo? Solomon? Are you saying this? Look at verse 2. From the nations from whom the Lord has said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them. Do you see that? Nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Do you see that? Solomon clung to these in love. Hmm. Do you see that? Okay. Oh God. And he had 700 wives. Ha! Oluwa o. Nibo. I don't understand. It's me. Think about that. I mean, one woman is working off. 700 wives. That's not all. That's not all. Says princesses. He likes good thing. Says 300 concubines. Brother Solo, what was the wisdom given to you for? Brother Solo, he said, and his wives turned away his heart. Obviously, yes. Amen. So he forgot what is wisdom, wealth and influence was for. And look at verse 4. So it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after their God, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God as was the heart of his father David. So Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonites, you see, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, in answer worshipping strange gods, instead of him to preach to them, right? Influence them, right? Okay, so can we say this is an example of a Christian who lets the world influence him? Huh? Instead of him to be a blessing, right? Okay, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place. Can you imagine? For Chemosh. You know, this is the same guy that built a temple. Ha! May we never forget. May we never forget. May we never forget. The same guy that built a temple. Now that's the biggest temple in the entirety of Israel. For the Lord. Now he now built a high place for Chemosh, Nebo, Brother Solo, the abomination of Moab on the hill that is east of the of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon, and he did likewise for all his foreign wives, you see, who burned incense and sacrifice to their gods. You see that? So he lost, can we say, his mandate. Do you see that? He lost his mandate. So we have an example here of a Jew, one who belongs to the people of God, who is supposed to use what God gives him, right? 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 To influence the nations. But rather, he used it for self-gratification, right? Self-gratification. Okay? So, you know, this tells us that actually, everywhere you are in life, okay, you are actually put there strategically by God to be a blessing to those people. Are you following what I'm saying here? Okay, so if you are a student, for example, look at yourself as a missionary in your classroom. Are you following what I'm saying here? If you are a student, for example, who is quite brilliant, and then several students come to meet you. Now, look at this. Several students now start to come to meet you to say, please, can you take us tutorials? You know, there are people like that, right? They teach their fellow classmates. You know, as a Christian, you know what you should be thinking immediately? Missions. 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 Are you following what I'm saying here? You know, as you are talking to them, after the tutorial, now call, say, hello, you know, this is the skill to read. Remember I told you, you don't have to say, carry the gang to the tutorial. Say, hey, you don't have to do that. Okay? You can just say, hey, bro James, how are you? Say, fine. Say, how is school going now? That's it. Okay? How is school going, you know? Did you understand what was taught today in the tutorial? Say yes. Say okay. You know this UI self is only God. Come on, it's only God that can help us. You know the lectures keep getting tougher and tougher, but God is our help. Say yes, it's true. Say God. Say it's even true self. I even have a program in church. Amen. Okay, I even have a program in church. I'm even going there self. You know, I'm just grateful for God. He's the one who is helping me. You know, the wisdom I have to teach you in the tutorials is coming from him. What are you doing? Evangelism, yeah? Do you get it? Okay? And then he said, that's even true. He said, what church do you attend? Hallelujah. Amen. He said, okay, I don't really go to church. And I said, okay, let me invite you. Why don't you come around for church? You've gotten someone already. Same thing as a banker. Same thing as a boss. Same thing as an employee. Remember your entire life. Are you following what I'm saying here? Your entire life is now to be a witness of God wherever you are. Hallelujah. So does that mean you should not be found fighting in your school? Come on. Does that mean, say, I don't take rubbish. They know you. Say, who is shouting? Sister Cynthia, she's always shouting. Say, they are fighting. Who's brother Soloni? Now he's a brother. You fight, you be the one that breaks, you break people's teeth. You fight and you remove somebody's eyes. You. Oh God. You remove somebody's eyes. You say, no. I don't take rubbish. Me, badger teacher, I don't take nonsense. So you are in your class, you are the loudest girl. You are always arguing with every, you know, even the lecturers have noticed. Say, oh, wait, come, who are you? You're always talking in class. Who are you? And say, you are a testimony of God in your class. Oh, testimony anything. Oh. Not testimony anything. You're a testimonial, not a testimony. Okay? Your entire life. Okay? You are now the one who doesn't cheat in exam. They know you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They know that this one, in examination, or she faces her book, she doesn't talk to anybody. That is a Christian. Do you understand that you are witnessing? Before you know, someone will say, let me know something more about this guy. Are you following this? Okay? So what we learn from the children of Israel is that God wants to use every means possible to reach out to the unsaved. Every means possible. Okay? So let him. What did I say? Let him in your life. Let him in your life. As you go to your sphere of influence this week, okay, look at yourself as a missionary going out, okay? Don't wait till we organize mission trips in church, okay? We will do that, okay? But don't wait till that before you tell someone about the gospel. Let your entire life, let people know that when I look at this one's WhatsApp status, I don't see rubbish there. You know, some of your WhatsApp status is the Ammonites.com. Moab.com, Sidon.com. You just put rubbish there. Babes. Nonsense. You don't. No one can be blessed. No one is blessed by your social media. Those nonsense. Say in added to you. Nonsense. Jati. You observe how I use my social media. Do you observe? Leno.
Now you laugh, but learn. Do you get it? Don't put things on your social media that will distance people away from God. Do you get it? Don't say rubbish. Okay? Don't say rubbish. Be God's missionary wherever you go. Hallelujah. Did this help someone today? Okay, lift your hands and give God praise. Just thank Him.